And it's time for FlameFlash.net Podcast Episode 14. Hello there, internets. I'm FlameFlash of FlameFlash.net. Everyone, you can always write me at podcast@flameflash.net. I'm also on Twitter as FlameFlash or Facebook as a FlameFlash.net fan page. Feel free to stop by, ask questions, send questions, make comments. Feedback is useful and helpful, and I'll actually read it. Anyway, gaming in the last week. We start our shows normally. First off, I want to hit Civ 5. We actually had two new downloadable content patches on Civ 5 recently. One adds the Korean Empire, and the other adds three new wonders to your early stages of the Civ 5 run. Of course, existing games, you will not see either of these available or apply. Of course, not for Civs, since you already have the preset ones. But if you want access to the brand new items, the new wonders, you will have to start a new game. That's done mostly for balance, of course, so that you can't just suddenly pop in a brand new wonder without building up the prerequisite techs. Makes sense. Not quite sure what I think of these two. I really wish downloadable content would be a thing of the past and we would get our full game right off the bat, or save it for an expansion pack. Expansion packs at least give you a lot of content all in one lump sum instead of kind of serving it out piecemeal like they've been doing with Civ 5. Sims seems to have a nice balance between expansion pack and downloadable content. The Sims is actually one of those games that was played in the last week, too. Enjoying it as usual. Nothing majorly new. You can check my Twitter feed for a unique strut from one of my Sims. Not sure what they were doing in the shower, but this Sim was certainly satisfied as he was leaving from his visit to the Caliente family. The Caliente family is a family from both Sims 1 and Sims 2. I believe Sims 1. Didn't really play Sims 1 much. But they came back as of Sims 3 with the Barnacle Bay downloadable content. It's a neighborhood. Of course, you could just recreate them yourselves, but these two actually come as celebrities, which was added with Nightlife. So you get a high-level celebrity right off the bat. If you want to see or use them to see what happens when you have a high-level celebrity, this is a nice quick way to jump in and do so. Super Mario Kart for the Wii. I did a little bit more catch up on my old save game that was lost. What I'm doing is actually coordinating with each cup, group of four races, and I'm racing through each of the difficulty levels. As you get gold in each difficulty and each cup, so it's kind of each cup is a set of four races, you will start unlocking things as you progress. Well, by going through the easy, medium, and hard courses all at once on each cup, you ease yourself into mastering the cups, which, if you're experienced with the game already, is a great way to re-unlock everything. So I believe I'm all the way through Mushroom Cup and about halfway through Flower. I'll probably actually have a little bit of a hard time on Flower, since now going back to it later, I'll be ready for 150cc. They're separated into 50, 100, and 150cc if you're not familiar with Mario Kart. Though if you're not familiar with Mario Kart, you're certainly not a Nintendo fan, so you're yawning right now and I'm going to move on. To another Nintendo game. Super Smash Bros. Brawl. This has a one or two player story mode that is super satisfying. If you have not played the story mode of Super Smash Bros. Brawl, if you have simply assumed it is like Melee's, Super Smash Bros. Melee's story mode, which was a little flat, you are missing out. It's fun, it's entertaining, there are quite a few cutscenes, quick little blurbs, nothing voiced, but it's a really satisfying experience, and I've been playing through with the oldest. We're about 50% way through, so we're finally farther than we were before the Wii died, and it's a really satisfying little romp through all of the various Nintendo games, and pays homage to all of the Nintendo games that are featured in the game. Right now we have been greeted by Solid Snake, Metal Gear character, who has transitioned in recent console days to the PlayStation, but he started out on Nintendo, and it was really neat that they were able to bring him back for this game. It's one of the odd men out as far as looks go to the game. When you have Solid Snake standing beside Lucario, a Pokemon, things definitely seem out of balance, but he fits, he works. They managed to give a shooter character enough animated fireballs and that kind of thing that he doesn't stick out like a sore thumb, which is satisfying. And I've said satisfying way too many times for that game. Moving to the PC again, so I'm bouncing between Nintendo and PC so far. I've already mentioned The Sims 3. Great game. Couldn't be happier. Really looking forward to Pets. I believe I already mentioned that they announced that you can now control your pets, or will be able to control your pets, once Pets actually is released. Stick with the PC. EA Games does something really stupid console-wise, and gives you a code that you have to use to unlock access to the Exchange. The Exchange, if you're not familiar, is where users can upload and download player-generated content. For consoles, this really helps grab the neater recolorings, and EA doesn't have to put all of that kind of thing in their base game. The problem is, if you don't buy new, you're stuck with having to go out to the PlayStation Network store or the Xbox Marketplace and buy a $10 online pass. A ripoff. Especially when, if you're buying it used, you could be buying it for only $5 less than the new price. I hate it. When you buy a disc, whether it's used or new, you should have full, fair use rights to it. No, you shouldn't be making illegal copies. No, you shouldn't be trying to hack your system and copy it to a hard drive or install it directly so you don't have to use a disc. But you should have full rights to it. I own this disc now. It's that simple. So, I have started boycotting. Not like I was really going to buy some of the first-person shooters or sports games anyway that do this, but I don't buy these games. It's probably going to hurt us in the future, and I may have to rethink that if it becomes a standard practice. But that was the bonus of consoles. You could get a disc, you could get a cartridge, you could go home, play it, return it, rent it, whatever you wanted, loan it, borrow it, and you'd have it, and you could do everything on it. If you're going to start charging me, you might as well charge me less for a new game and release multiplayer or the online functionality as a downloadable content expansion pack. That gets around everybody being hurt twice. I mean, you buy a new disc, sell it to GameStop, somebody else buys that disc, you already bought and paid for the online access with that disc by buying it new. The next person down the street who buys it shouldn't have to also buy online access because you've already paid for it. I'll get off that high horse. Go PC with The Sims, if you can. You'll be more satisfied anyway. Hey, there's that word again. It must be the word of the night. Vampire the Masquerade. Bloodlines. Yes, I am going very much old school. First off, this was available on Steam quite a while ago as a very, very cheap price of $5. Now I understand why after trying it out. Horrible, horrible graphics for today's standard. Of course, you have to go and download a fan patch. A fan patch to even be able to run it on a 64-bit machine. Also, turn off auto-downloading of updates on Steam for this particular game, so that way it doesn't overwrite it with a real copy. You already own the game. This is what I was talking about, fair use. Somebody went in, they patched it, they made it work for newer computers. There's nothing wrong with that. Yes, it's technically hacking the game, but why should you miss out on a gem like this just because you have too new of a computer? It's sad that some people will. I'm actually scared to try launching the Commander Keen pack now, an old DOS game, so I'm fearful it won't even run on a 64-bit machine. Steam did do a good job of warning everybody of that fact, but of course you have to actually read the warning. They need to do a better job of bolding that warning so you don't do it. Regardless, though, if you're familiar with the World of Darkness world, this is an amazing take on it. Now, I'm going to segue a little bit off from video games. I play Mage more. Mage the Ascension. World of Darkness, is a role-playing universe set in modern day, but with a twist. Vampires, werewolves, mages, ghosts, mummies, demons, hunters, and I think I actually listed them all off. Oh, changelings. Quite an assortment of monster movie type characters all wandering the streets of modern day New York or Boston or Los Angeles or wherever you want to set it. The versions preceding New World of Darkness are my favorite, and this happens to land in the Old World of Darkness, Vampire Bloodlines, because it was released prior to the revamp. The revamp's good. The old version's better. So if you can find or buy these books, they may be available digitally to purchase, and if so, I highly recommend it. If you're into pen and paper role-playing. But some of my favorite memories of role-playing come from World of Darkness. Very simple 10-sided die system, so the more skill you have in doing something, the more dice you roll. Straightforward and simple. Also, I've been playing in a play-by-email game in Mage for 7 years. 7 years. Oh, and there's Newbie. I'm going to cover up the camera so that Red Flare can go and get her. And I'll continue to yammer on. But, Ninja Red Flare. She got her fast. But, 7 years. Same game. Play by email. You wouldn't think we'd survive that long, but that's how engaging Mage the Ascension can be when you have a bunch of people who understand the system, aren't trying to game the system, and are out to tell fun stories. I almost said satisfying again. But Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines is M-rated, so this is when you're going to have to put headphones on, don't blast it, hide it from the kids. M-rated because it is vampires after all, and unlike Twilight, I don't recall even ever seeing any of them latch on to a human being yet. It's been a while since I've seen those horrible movies, read the books. But it is M for obvious reasons, because you're dealing with vampires and blood, and World of Darkness is for mature audience as well. The themes, the setting, the Monsters Among Us idea, it's not really something for kids. Go Dungeons and Dragons if you're looking for that, because you can be a little bit easier. It's a little easier to be silly in there. Maybe some of the other sub-games, you could make it work. Hunter, for instance, might be child-appropriate, but you'd also have to cut out some of the things like your hunter potentially going insane. Anyway, Clubhouse Games was one played recently as well. As well as You Don't Know Jack. I've talked about You Don't Know Jack plenty of times before, though Red Flare made the amusing note that she'll give me a little playful evil glare whenever I get a question right or send her a screw. And I usually lightly praise her and say, "Good job, honey." And it's an amusing little obvious difference of our personalities, the politician versus the street fighter. And I invoked a smile, laugh, and a head shake of, I'm not sure what. Oh, and now a glare, yes. A playful glare. But Clubhouse Games has absolutely no online functionality at this point. I tried to connect online. It's just too old of a game. It's out of print, so you're not going to find anybody. Or if you want to try to arrange a time to play Clubhouse Games with me, these are cards. Cards, board game, all on your DS. The neat thing is it's single card play. So if you can find this out there in the wild, get it. You only need one card. You can share it with, I think, up to four. And you've got a good game to share and pass some time and play cards. And it'll actually remember the rules for you, because there are lots of games on here, and I certainly wouldn't remember all of the rules to all of them. Still don't understand Texas Hold'em. Oh well. Last but not least, I'm going to mention World of Warcraft. I'm mentioning World of Warcraft last because GamesCon over in Germany has been reporting some new news regarding it. Yes, we had the Mists of Pandaria copyright announcement or trademark announcement a couple of weeks ago, but 4.3, the next coming patch for World of Warcraft Cataclysm, brings Deathwing the final boss. They are cutting this one short. I had Wrath of the Lich King for at least a year, and certainly wasn't geared enough to do much as early as everybody else, but I was still able to get in there and play and raid, and I'm just not going to get a chance to this time around unless I really put my rear in gear, and I've got too many other things I want to do as well. So, I wish you luck, World of Warcraft Cataclysm, and I wish everyone luck who's going to be playing and fighting Deathwing. I probably won't be in there with you. Just how it goes. GamesCon also brings news of the new Star Wars MMO. Now, the thing about MMOs and the thing about World of Warcraft and Star Wars are they're both subscription-based. They're not free to play. You don't get funding for the game by doing microtransactions. So the only way to play is to sign up to pay. I can't support two games. This household just can't justify spending $30 a month for one person or one account in two games. We do justify three accounts in World of Warcraft. However, that is so we can play as a family. A family that games together stays together, listens to each other, interacts more, has more things to share at the dinner table. Do you guys remember that silly moment when Mommy got squashed by the orc? Or, I got a glare on that one. Playful one, of course. Or, Daddy, come see this. I've got the flag. I'm running to the goal. Shared experiences. Shared knowledge. Everybody knows how to play the game. Everybody understands the game. So, you have one more thing in common with your kids and with your spouse to share and talk about. But having two MMOs running at the same time, it's just not going to be possible. I don't know yet if we're going to drop WoW for a short time and try Star Wars on one account or not. We will just have to wait and see. It looks really cool. Oldest son is really excited about the idea of it, but price justification is my sticking point at the moment. Price justification for how little we're playing WoW is my sticking point at the moment. I've been tempted to let that subscription lapse, so we'll have to wait and see there. App Store. The Apple App Store. If you have an iPad, iPhone, iPod Touch, there is a monster at the end of this book. It's an app. It's not a book. Well, it is a book, but it's an app based on a book. Get both. The app for the iPad or the iPod Touch or your iPhone, do it for the iPad if you have one. It's so fun to listen to the kids giggle and laugh as they torture Grover, reaching slowly towards the end of the book. Only for Grover to, of course, well, I won't spoil it for you. It's a good interactive storybook. The words pop up on the screen as he's talking. You get to poke things and move things around on the screen with touch, and the kids will enjoy it. Regardless of age. The 9-year-old enjoys it. The 3-year-old enjoys it. The 6-month-old flaps at it. Excitedly. Having no clue what's going on, but loving the fact that everybody else is having a blast. Neat gadgets out there. Well, before I segue off into that, warning, 3DS, don't pick up a Wii DSi store points card expecting to use that on your 3DS. Oops. My bad. They have on their store a $8 golf game in 3D that looks fun. Watch the trailer. It looks good. The trailer is in 3D, so you really get a feeling for it. It's a two-player pass the console around, so I could play with Red Flare nice and easily, or with one of the kids. But the 3DS store deals in real dollars money. The DSi, the Wii store, they deal in points. It's the same thing, but the cards are listed differently. So I'm now sitting with an extra 2,000 Wii points for the Wii that we'll just have to wait and see what we use it for. Didn't rhyme intentionally, but I saw it, so I walked right into it. But just pay attention. I don't like attaching my credit card to a gaming system, especially after the PlayStation 3 hacking situation. So I've been on the prowl and watchful for a code card to be able to apply to my account on the system and get any game I want there. So just watch for what card you pick up in the store. Speaking of the PS3 and the hacking, there's been a price drop. We are down to the launch price of the 3DS now, $250. I'm thrilled. More people in the games, in the marketplace, encouraging developers to develop for the platform. But oddly, I couldn't think of three games that I could strongly recommend without a shadow of a doubt for you to pick up for the system. I have a rule of three for a system. There must be three games going to be coming out or have come out for a system to be able to buy it to justify the price. 3DS, it was the Ambassadors program that gives you 20 games. Bam. The PS3, hit the network. Hit the store on the network. I've talked about games in the past that are on the network. So if you don't have an Xbox or you haven't picked them up yet on the Xbox, no, it doesn't justify the cost. But there are exclusives to the PS3. Heavy Rain and Heavenly Sword being two of them. I haven't played them recently. Maybe I'll pick them up again so I can work them into my Raptor report of gaming. But they're really good games. Heavenly Sword was a launch PS3 title. Might be hard to find at this point, I'm not sure. Heavy Rain is a very unique take on a choose-your-own-adventure story, basically. I'll leave both at that because they're not on my Raptor report right now. You do have some other exclusives out there. I can't fully recommend them. I cannot fully recommend them because I haven't played them yet. Infamous was one of the games I got for free from the PlayStation Network. I have not had a chance late evening to play it yet. I got distracted last opportunity with Vampire Bloodlines. And I will probably return to Vampire Bloodlines the next time I have said opportunity. But Infamous got high markings. It got a sequel. It sold well enough and was liked enough that it got a sequel. Infamous 2. Oh, that was surprising. Infamous 2. God of War series. It's a trilogy at this point on the PlayStation. Number 1 and 2, I believe, are remastered games from the PlayStation 2, but are supposedly very good. They come in a $40 box, but you get two games. Both for $20. We also actually have that sitting on the shelf. But again, it's M-rated, so if you have kids, you're going to have to hold it. Heavy Rain is also M-rated, just to warn you. Also, it's worth playing to 5 in the morning, as Red Flare caught me doing a couple of times. I think I actually overheated the PS3 at one point because I was playing it so long. And we had to send it in for repairs. Fortunately now, the PlayStation Plus gives you automatic cloud save storage. This was a recent patch. So now you don't have to worry so much if your PS3 dies. All your saves are safe. As long as you're a PlayStation Plus member. Now the neat thing is, because this feature has been there for a while, but now it auto-uploads. It asks you before you launch a game that you haven't launched before, and since the patch, and says, do you want to auto-save upload? Yes. Yes, always yes. I don't know why it would be no, but I guess some people might be worried about running out of space or something in their upload cloud. You only get 150 megabytes. But 150 megabytes for simply game saves? That's plenty. Or it's been plenty for me, at least. I'm going to close out with a neat little low-tech solution for the heroes off in the Middle East right now. Trucks to troops. So you take a... This is a website that is accepting donations, and they build little RC cars and race them out alongside the road. The RC cars hit about 30 miles an hour and will hit tripwires for the improvised explosive devices. The report I've heard about says they've already saved at least 6 lives, if not more. And it's a really elegant, low-tech solution for a problem facing life-threatening situations. It's one of those awesome geeks win kind of scenarios. And it gives them something fun to play with and relax with on downtime. I'm sure finding downtime and relax time is exceedingly hard over there. So any new object to help them with that is good. Especially when they know it can also potentially save their lives. But I'm Flame Flash, a flameflash.net podcast. Thank you for joining me. I look forward to anything you want to send my way at Flame Flash on Twitter, podcast@flameflash.net over email, and flameflash.net fan page on Facebook. Thanks for stopping by.